Ladies and gentlemen, 4 months ago tonight, many of us had a great smile on our faces. 4 months ago tonight to the date, almost, but definitely to the day, we were sitting on wonderful chairs in the most lavish meal we have for the entire year. We were sitting at our seders. And at our seders, right before we began to indulge in delicious Pesach delicacies, we ate a hard-boiled egg. To recall the fact that the same night, namely a Wednesday night, is Tisha B'Av a few months later. And it's amazing that just like then, we began our Pesach Seder by asking the question, why is this night different from all other nights? Tonight we come here and we ask the very same question. Why is tonight different from all other nights? Why is this Tisha B'Av different in the year 2006 than every other subsequent Tisha B'Av that we ever had beforehand and hopefully we'll never have again? Tonight, we're going to begin to read the Megillah of Eicha. And in this Megillah of Lamentations, in the very second verse, it says, and I quote, "Bacho tifkeh balayla, v'dimata al lechya, ein la menachem mikol ohavea." You shall surely cry at night, and you shall have those tears on your cheeks. There is no comforter from everyone that loves you. And every single year on Tisha B'Av, we read this, and I say to myself, what do you mean you have no comforter? In Jewish law, when someone sits Shiva, when someone is mourning, there's an obligation upon the community to comfort that person. And there's a certain procedure that we follow. So what does it mean that there's no comforter? And every year I ask myself that question, and I gave myself various answers. But this year I think I came upon the answer to try to explain that verse. And unfortunately, or fortunately, it's just a question of vocabulary. Look, if someone loses a father or a mother, there's a name for that person. He's called an orphan. When someone loses a spouse, there's a name for that person. A widow. Or a widower. What do you call the father and mother of Roy Klein, who was killed last week? What's the name we give them? What name do we brand a father and mother that have to bury their children? There is no name. And there is no comfort. And all you can do is cry. Because crying is the opposite of coherence. Coherence is a function of what you can say. Crying is when you're out of control. You don't know what to say. What do you say to a mother that just a few weeks ago, her mother, the grandmother of her grandson, a bubby took her little grandson, her ain't her, out for a walk in a place that many of you have been in every year, in Meiron. There's big bonfires there on Lag BaOmer. And as they're walking, a direct Katusha hit kills her and kills her grandson. And that mother's going to sit Shiva now for her mother, which is a semi-normal occurrence of life. But she's also sitting Shiva for her son. There is no name in the book for a person that loses a son. And there is no comfort in the world for a mother and father to bury a seven-year-old. Or seven and three-year-old brothers that were killed, whether they're Jewish or not. And there is no comfort in the world for the various casualties that you've all seen on that page that brought you here tonight. And I have to admit that I'm a pretty organized person. And that flyer was out on Friday. And it was printed on Monday. But this morning I had to print it again. Because four more names were added to the list
in the last 24 hours, 58 years after the State of Israel has been founded, we are still mourning and fighting. And ultimately, there is no comfort. There is nothing you can say to a mother or father that loses a son or daughter. And there is nothing you can say to a mother and father that not only loses a son and daughter, but suddenly, without any sort of warning, with no pre-sickness to the death, one day they went out to war, they called you on the cell phone saying, I'm going, and then 4 hours later you get a knock on the door with a guy in uniform, and he's not coming to bring a medal. He's coming to bring the worst news that you can ever imagine. And maybe this will explain to every one of you why the Megillah of Eicha that we're going to read tonight is actually in alphabetical order. Almost every chapter begins with Aleph, the second verse is Bet, the third verse is Gimel, and so on for the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I always wonder what kind of games we're playing over here. In kindergarten, you play games with the alphabet. Who can tell me what starts with Aleph? And a kid will raise his hand, Abba. Who can tell me what starts with Bet, Baba? That's not a game you play on Tisha B'Av. And yet the author of Eicha, Yirmiyahu, the prophet, decided to organize his entire magnum opus, the Megillah of Eicha, in the order of the Aleph Bet. What kind of game is this? And the answer, unfortunately, is one that we've been experiencing during the course of the last month. No words can begin to describe what's happening right now. There is not enough that we could say that's going to encompass the entire situation of the Jewish people on Tisha B'Av of 2006. As we sit here tonight mourning, not doing something enjoyable, there are hundreds of Jewish boys that probably would have been in shul tonight, and unfortunately are not allowed to fast today because they're fighting for the lives of the Jewish people. There is no composition that you're going to write. There's no speech that you could say. There's no article in the paper that you can write that will encompass the situation. So what do? We limit ourselves to the letters of the alphabet. That's what Yirmiyahu did during the time in which he tried to describe the tragedies of the destruction of the temple. He limited himself just to the alphabet, even though he could have said so much more. And we're limiting ourselves tonight by just reading Eicha, by just saying the same lamentations, the keynote we say every year, though the tragedy is so overwhelming. To think that tens of Jews were killed in the last month, not because of any sort of dispute over land. Israel left Lebanon, Israel left the Gaza Strip, but only because of one reason. They were Jewish. Just like at the time of the Crusades, for which we mourn on Tisha B'Av. And just like at the time of the Khmelnytsky massacres of 1648, for which we will mourn on Tisha B'Av. And just like at the time of the Spanish Inquisition of 1492. It's the hatred of the Jewish people that made the Hezbollah go ahead and start shooting rockets. And it's not enough that we could say, to go before God and say, how can you do this to your people? So we limit ourselves to the Holocaust. So what shall we do? What is there to do? The only thing we could do is mourn. And I'll just end before we dive in Myris, for a reason that we're mourning, and how mourning helps. And this reason was not given by a great rabbi. It wasn't given by a great lover of the Jewish people, though he wasn't an anti-Semite. You probably heard of him. Napoleon. And I read, and I quote, from a very known story. This is what so impressed the French ruler Napoleon when he looked into a synagogue in Paris on Tisha B'Av and saw a Jew sitting on the floor chanting lamentations and shedding tears. After inquiring about the cause for their mourning and hearing that it was because of the destruction of their holy temple in Jerusalem, he expressed astonishment that he had heard nothing about this tragedy from his reliable intelligence sources. When it was explained that this event took place close to 1,800 years earlier, he reportedly declared that a people who can still mourn for their temple and their homeland after so many years have a real hope of regaining them. Napoleon distinguished something unique about the long memory of the Jewish people, but could not truly understand its meaning. The only way we're ever going to get back to normal, the only way we're going to stop mourning on Tisha B'Av, the only way we're going to stop the madness, is if we know how to mourn. It's a privilege tonight to mourn for the Kedoshim, for the holy ones that sanctified God's name and fell on behalf of the Jewish people. From the destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians to the destruction of the second temple. From 586 BCE, when it was the destruction of the first temple. 6 centuries later, in 70 CE, the destruction of the second temple. And tonight, 1,938 years after those occurrences, we're mourning. And the only way we're going to regain our dignity is if we mourn properly. Before we begin to read Eicha, there's a very interesting law with regard to Tisha B'Av, and that is that it's a day of Satam Tfilati, a day in which God does not necessarily hear prayers. Before we begin the Megillah of Eicha, before we begin a day in which God stopped hearing the prayers of the Jewish people and allowed this terrible destruction to happen, I thought it would be very appropriate to offer a small plea to God on behalf of the people of Israel, on behalf of its security forces, and on behalf of those that are in captivity this evening. Father in heaven, the Rock and Redeemer of Israel, bless the state of Israel, the dawning of our redemption. Support the defenders of our sacred land, crown them with victory and crown them with deliverance, give them peace in the land and eternal joy to its inhabitants. Remember our brothers, the house of Israel and all their lands, and lead them speedily erect to Zion, your city, and to Jerusalem, your sanctuary. Unite our hearts, love, and fear your name, to heed all the words of the Holy Torah, Shem, speedily the son of David, your righteous anointed. You have blessed our fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leila. Bless the soldiers of the state of Israel and the security force of the state of Israel, standing guard on our God's country and cities from the Lebanon to the deserts of Egypt and from the Big Sea to the Arava by land, air, and sea. God will give our enemies defeated to them, and that God Almighty will guard and save the protectors of our holy land, wherever they are, from all trouble and harm, from all disease and infliction, and will be sending blessings and success to all their doings. May they subdue their enemies and will crown them with deliverance and victory. And may God fulfill the words, Ki Adonai Elohechem ha'olechim achem yilachem lachem im oyvechem loshia etchem v'nomar amen. You have blessed our fathers of Yitzchak and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, Moses, Aaron, David, and Solomon. He will bless the soldiers kidnapped and captivated by our enemies, including Gilad ben Aviva Shalit, Ehud, son of Malka, Eldad, the son of Tova, Zechariah Shlomo, son of Miriam, Yehuda, son of Sarah, Guy, son of Rina Hever, Ron, son of Bacha Arad, Tzvi, son of Pnina, Yekutiel Yudah, son of Sarah. God will protect and save them from all trouble and adversity and from all infliction and disease. And may the verse come true. May they come to Zion in peace. May they be invested with joy. Uftudei anai yeshevunu vau l'tzion berina v'simchat olam al rosha. Sason v'simcha yamsiyu v'nas yagon v'anacha. V'nomar amen. The first chapter of Eicha is read, as the rest of the Megillah, in a very low, mournful tune. And very interestingly, any Bible student will tell you that every time you want to analyze a chapter in the Bible, the first thing you look for is the most common word in that chapter. In this first chapter of Eicha, the most common word is the word alone. And every time I read this chapter, I think of Oliver Twist. I'm sure you read the story of Oliver Twist. He was cajoled by his friends to try to ask for a little more food. And indeed, his friend said, we'll support you, don't worry about it. And when his friends tell him to do so, he goes up to the master of his orphanage and says, please give me a little more food. And they, of course, beat him almost to death. And when that happens, instead of his friends sticking up for him, you all know what happens. His friends stand on the sidelines and make it as if they don't know what's happening. I always think of this story when I read this first chapter, because the Jewish people were promised, if they just go ahead, just go in revenge against their enemies at the time. They were two big entities, Egypt and Babylonia. If they revenge against one of them, don't worry, we're your allies, we'll support you. And that's exactly what the king of Israel did. And as soon as he did so,
You can imagine he was defeated and his allies stood far away, forgetting that he even knew him. And there's no question tonight, as we're about to read this chapter about how the Jewish people were alone, exiled, taken away from the natural habitat, you have to think of who we just prayed for. The many captives of the Jewish army, 3 in the last month, and many in the past months. On the flyer we gave out, and you can see for yourself in the back of it, we have the captives right on the bottom. As you can see there very vividly, we're talking about 8 people who are not with their families for many years, spanning from 8,818 days till a month. And being in captivity is first and foremost being alone, far away from anything you know, beaten, defeated, and have no idea when your salvation is going to come.
העיר הבת ים הייתה כהלמנה רבתי בגויים שרתי במדינה הייתה למס בחו תפקה בלילה ודימתה הלך יין למנחם מכל אוהביה כל ראיה בגדובה היו לה לאויבים גלתה יהודה מירוני ומירב עבודה היא ישבה בגויים לא מצא מנורח קולות והשיגוה בין המצרים.
The second chapter of Eicha that we're about to read, right at the beginning of it, we say the words, Yishlich mishamayim eretz tiferet Yisrael. You threw down from heaven the glory of the Jewish people. And I always wondered, according to our tradition, this means the tefillin that we don't wear on Tisha B'Av morning. The glory of the Jewish people have always been their tefillin. The glory of the Jewish people have always been their mitzvahs, have always been their commandments. But obviously in this particular chapter, we see something totally different. In this particular chapter, we see that ultimately the infusion, the direct contact with God, the IV that we used to have in the temple, is totally gone. We used to be able to ask God direct questions through the prophet. Should we go to war or shouldn't we go to war? Maybe we should evacuate Haifa and evacuate the state of Israel, or maybe we shouldn't. How do you know? Today, all you got to do is use your mind. But imagine if you used to have that direct contact with God, and that direct contact was lost as soon as the temple was destroyed. On July 20th, just a few weeks ago, when Pilot Major Ron Yoshua Kochav from Kochava, 37 years old, when his plane crashed, when his helicopter didn't make it, you ask yourself, maybe he shouldn't have gone in the first place. Maybe we should have just evacuated the country. Maybe. It's an option. Who knows? Ultimately, we lost it. We lost that direct contact with God on this day. And we have to go ahead and try to go and mourn to God. We lost it, and we're looking for it again. God willing, we hope to get it back. We hope that there won't be a situation where this morning, a young Jew, 40-something years old, gets up on his bicycle and rides the streets, and a katusha kills him. I wish we had that direct contact with God and during these days. There's so many questions we could have got clear answers on.
Echa Yahiv Ve'apo Adonai Et Vatzion Yishlich Meishamayim Eretz Tiferet Yisrael Zachar Adom Raglav Ve'yom Apo.
The third chapter of Echa is no longer national, it's personal. It's Yirmiyahu basically coming before God and saying, God, because you sent me to be the prophet of doom, I suffered. And I always wonder, and I hate to bring up everything I wonder about, but this year I've got many answers to things I've wondered about for years. Why is we reading about the personal complaints of the prophet in the middle of the most national, bleakest day of the year? If the prophet has complaints, he can say them to God. Why do we have to know about them? Why do we have to read about them? And you're going to see, even the tune we're going to use is different.
It's a personal vendetta, so to speak. God, ultimately you sent me to be your prophet. I was stepped on. I was thrown into jail by the king for saying the temple's going to be destroyed. I suffered personally. I think in the last few days, we understand very well that your personal problems are national problems. Sometimes, there is no distinction between the two. What are you going to say to Major Roy Klein, who died last Wednesday, who I happen to meet, I happen to know him? Major Roy Klein, 31 years old, deputy commander of Golani Brigade No. 51, was out in the field fighting. Part of his platoon were hurt. He was going in to pull out the casualties and pull out the dead. He was in a little alleyway, and a grenade was thrown in. And as an officer of the Israeli Defense Forces is taught, he threw himself on that grenade to save his soldiers. Can you say now that the personal tragedies of this Roy Klein has nothing to do with the national tragedy of the Jewish people? The distinction between the personal and the national are totally smudged. If you're the prophet of doom, you're going to suffer. If Yirmiyahu the prophet was told by God, don't have kids, don't get married, it's a time of destruction. The wife of Roy Klein, Sarah, and his two wonderful kids, 1-5, 1-3, have to suffer now because the Jewish people are suffering. Any sort of distinction between the personal and the national is totally smudged in this situation. And what about Captain Amichai Meravia? Captain Amichai Meravia also died last Wednesday, 24 years old. His father got the call, your son is dead. His father was on reserve duty himself. His father was blessed with 10 children. One of his other sons were down in Gaza fighting. There is no distinction between what happens to the personal Jew and what happens to the nation of Israel.
יאני הגבר העוני בשבט עברתו תנהג ויולה חושך ולא אך מי ישוב יהפוך ידו כל היום בלה בשרי ואורי שיבר עצמותיי בנה עליי ויקב ראש ותלה ומחשקים הושיבני כמתי עולם גדר בעדי ולא אצליח בימי חשתי גם כי אזק ואשביה סתם תפילתי גדר דרכי וגזי נתיבותי יבאי.
The fourth chapter of Eicha is a eulogy for one man, for the king called Tzidkiyahu. The king Tzidkiyahu was no righteous king. Far from it. And yet, in this chapter, we're about to read the words that we say in many homes every Friday night. Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. He was the source of our life. He was the future Mashiach. And unfortunately, Nigzar B'Shchitutam. He did not become Mashiach because he was corrupt. How many people in the last month lost their lives? And they had the potential to be Mashiach. They had the potential to be the greatest leaders of the Jewish people, the best doctors, the ones that are going to engage in extensive research to try to find the proper cure for AIDS and cancer and whatnot. How many of them were on their way to university to become the most ethical businessmen and lawyers? How many future prime ministers were killed in this last month? If one of the most corrupt kings, Tzidkiyahu, could have been Mashiach, and a whole chapter of Eicha is devoted for that one king, how much more so do we have to mourn tonight for the endless kings? The endless kings that could have gone great for the Jewish people. How much more so do we have to mourn tonight for July 16th, 2006? When 8 people were killed on a Sunday morning. And I remind you, in Israel, Sunday morning is Monday morning. It's the busiest day of the week. It's the first day of work. Sunday morning, 8 rockets fired by the Hezbollah guerrilla struck the northern port town of Haifa. You all read about it. 8 people were killed. What were they doing? They were in a storage room working. What happens when a person's riding a bicycle? What happens when a person's watching TV? And a young Arab girl is killed in Nasrat, watching TV, next door to a mosque.
How many future leaders of the Jewish people were killed in the last month?
Yecha yuam zahav yizne haketem atot tishpachpech navne kodesh berosh kol chutzot v'nei tzion ha'yikarim ha'mesulayim bapaz echa nichshevu l'mivnei cheres ma'ase yedei yoter.
The last chapter of Eicha, which is the introduction to all the keynotes we're going to say tonight, starts with the words of Zechor Hashem Me'ayah Lanu. Remember, God, what happened to the Jewish people. And there's one thing I fear with regard to this entire situation. I fear terribly that will, God forbid, get used to it. There's nothing to get used to when you can't even ride your bicycle. There's nothing to get used to if you have to spend night after night and day after day in a bomb shelter. That's not something that's legitimate to get used to. And it's not legitimate for the Jewish people to live without a temple. It's illegitimate to read about sacrifices, to read about this and that, and impurity, and not be able to practice it. And we're coming before God and saying, remember, God, what happened to us. Don't forget, and let us not forget. Let's not get used to it. Let's hope that it's going to get better. Let's leave tonight and hope very well that it's going to get better. But the only way you can go forward is if you look back. The only way you can have a sense of the future is if you have a sense of history. And ultimately, we're saying to God, remember what happened. Remember what happened then. Remember what's happening now. Don't forget it. And don't get used to it. It has to get better. We can't live this way. Give back to the Jewish people the summer vacation that every one of us likes to celebrate at this time of the year. Give back to the Jewish people what they deserve. Give back to the Jewish people their dignity.
Zechor Adonai mehayah lanu, habit haaretz chirpateinu, nachalateinu nevcha lezarim, bateinu lenochrim, yetomim hayinu, mi'ein avimoteinu kealmanot, meimeinu bechesed shatinu, eitzeinu b'mechir yavou, al tzavareinu nirdafnu, yagano lo hunach lanu, mitzrayim natanu yad, hashu, lishmor alach, אבותינו חטאו, והנם ואנחנו עוונותיהם צבענו. על הציון ששומם שועלים ילכו
בו. Every Shabbos, may we return to the time in which we can live as free Jews in the free world without fear. Now we're beginning the first kina. The first kina can be found on page 28 in the kina booklets. If you have the black booklets, if you have the small white paperback booklets, right after Eicha, the first kina can be found on page 9.
Yizechor Adonai me'ayah lanu, yabit aleich chirpateinu. Nachalateinu nevcha lezarim, oy bateinu lenochrim. Yetomim hayinu ve'ein avoy imoteinu kealmanot. ממנו בחסף שתינו, אוי, כי ניסו חמיים בזינו. על צווארנו נרדפנו, אוי, כי שנאת חינם רדפו. מצרים נתנו יד, אוי, ואשור צדענו כצייד. אבותינו חטאו בעינם, אוי, ואנחנו סובלים את עוונם. עבדים משלו בנו, אוי, כי שילוך עבדים ביטלנו. אוי, בנפשנו נביא לחמנו, אוי, כי קצרת מיוני ידינו. אוי עודנו קטנו נחמלו, אוי כחיב אותם בקהלו, נעמירו. Just this one note about this kina. What we're doing is we're repeating the last chapter of Eicha, and after each stanza we're saying, this is the sin that made this happen. That's the sin that made it happen. Ultimately, there is no tragedy without sin. Tragedies strike, and we have to look deep into ourselves and ask ourselves, just like we have many complaints against God, are we perfect ourselves? Do we have what to improve? And I hope everyone leaves here tonight at least with one thing to improve in their lives.
Nashim v'tzion hinu oi ki ishet eshet rayenu timu v'zano. Oi sarim v'yadam nitlu oi ki kizilat oani chamsu v'gazano. Bachorim tekhon asu oi ki bevei tzona nimtzaru. Zekinim ishar shavtu oi ki mishpat yatom v'almana iftu.
שבת מסוף ליבנו רויקין ותלו עולה רגלנו נפלה עטרת ראשנו רויקין נשרח בית מקדשנו יעזע ידו וליבנו רויקין נפטל כבוד בית מאוויינו היה ארציון ששמם רויקין הר הבית משומם יצא אדוני לעולם תשב כי זכה לדובות עולם על הנצח תשכחנו תעזבנו לאורך ימים וישיבנו אדוני אליך כי יום מאוס מעשנו קצבת עלינו עד מאוד ישיבנו אדוני אליך ונשובך עדי שמנו כי גדם. If you turn ahead now to the Kina on page 36, starting with the words, Belel Zeh, Belel Zeh Yifkuun V'Yelelu Banai, in the white booklet, it's on page 10 on the bottom. This Kina talks about the fact that this night has always been a night of crying since the sin of the spies so many years ago. Ultimately, there's many Jews have cried on this night, from the sin of the spies to the destruction of the two temples at two different times, to many other terrible tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av, including the Spanish Inquisition and the deportation from Spain that happened on Tisha B'Av of 1492. בלב זה יפקעיון ואיננו בניי, בלב זה חרב ביתי נשרפו אמוני, וכל בית ישראל ירגו ביוגוני, ויפקעו השריפה אשר שרף אדוני. בלב זה נדלה למעור ענייה ונבדלו ממד אביה, כי היום נכתלת. ויצא מביתו ונסגר הדלת, והלכה בשביה, וכל פן החלת ביום שולחה באש פועלת ואוכלת, ויד בנחה יחלת אש מיד אדוני. ולזה הגלגל סיבב החובה, ראשון גם שני בעתי, נחרבה ועוד לא רוחמה בת השביבה, הוסדה מראש ואת פתנה צבא, ושולחה מביתו וגם נשתה טובה, גדולה השנאה מעת אשר אהבה, ואלמנות חיות כי אישה נעזבה, ותאמר ציון עזבה מי אדוני. ולזה התגדרתי וחשקו המערות וחובן בית קודשי וביטול משמרות ובלם זה סבוני יפפוני צרות וגם קרה מועד בדין חמש כזרות וכי חינם בחו ונפן לדורות יען כי הייתה סיבה מיהים אדוני. ובלם זה עירו בו חמש מאורעות. We just said on this night, five terrible things happened to the Jewish people, corresponding to what the Talmud says, that five terrible things happened on Tisha B'Av. We all know very well, since then the number has increased far beyond the five. גזר על אבות בפרוע פרעות ודפקו בוצרות רבות פרעות. יום מוכן היה בפקוע פגיגאות והמידה אויב והרים כל צבאות. קום כי זה היום אשר אמר אדוני. Next kina we're going to say is on page 38. Ad ana b'chiya b'tzion v'nisped v'yushalayim. Continuing on page 12 in the little booklets. Till when are we going to cry in Jerusalem? Till when are we going to cry about what we've lost? When is it going to be enough? ויד ענה בחייה בציון ומספט בירושלים, תרחם ציון ותבנה חומות ירושלים. ויד בחתותינו חרב מקדש ועבדם נשרף היכל, וישיחו בו על הקשרה מספט וצבא השמיים נשאו קינה. גם בחרו במראה שבטי יעקב, והמזלות יזודים הדקלי ישרון חפו ראשם קימה וכסיל כדרו פניהם. עתירו אבוי, ואין ולא שומע את הגופנים ולא ענה, וכל התורה צורק במראה ורואה נאמן לא הייתה אוזן. זרק, אוי, זה שלב וסקים, וצבא השמיים סק ושעת קצותם, חשך השמש וירח כדה וכוכבים עזבו נוגהם. תלה ראשון צורק במר נפש, כי כבשב לטבח ובלו יללה ישמיע שוב המרומים, כי על צווארנו נרדפו כולנו. כוכב תהומים נראה חלוק, על דם הגדם הכי נשבח כמיים לארץ, ביקש לנפול סרטן, כי נטפלו מבני צמא. מרון נבד מכל אריה, כי איש הגאה, עלה למרון נהרגו בתולות וגם בחורים, על כן בתולה גדרה פניה. סיבב מוזיים וביקש תחינה כי נבחר למוות מקיים הקרב לבש פחד וראה הקרב כי בחרב וברעב שפטענו צורנו. בגמיים הורידו דימה כנח הגיעות בגשר וניתן לנו צפו מים על ראשינו ודילים מלא חיכינו יבש. כי רעבנו קורבנו ונקבענו כדי פסק צעיר חטאתנו רחמניות בשלו ילדיהם ומזל דגים העלים עיניו. שכחנו שבת בלבות שובבים שעדי שיקח כל סיכותינו סיכנה לציון קינה גדולה ותהיה לרבתי המאוד נוגחה. For the end of the keynote this evening, we stand up to say the last paragraph, standing up in dignity, and hopefully only dignity will be coming to the Jewish people.
The end of service tonight is the words of our Hakadosh. We usually stay on Saturday night, asking God for a lot of success during the course of the coming week. Obviously, we need a lot of success on Tisha B'Av. Page 596 in the Harskel Sitters. In the black keynote booklet, it's right there right after the keynote. May our Hakadosh hear the word of God that said, I'm out. But today you all have a smile like a lot of blood. You are so much like that. You took the right decision, I feel that was a shake, I was a bite of the life of the man. All the other people who are the world, yes, my God.